Walk into my office and you'll notice a couple of things. Hundreds of books lining the walls. Seven lamps on rather than the fluorescent overhead lights. A piece of art Joyce Van Houten once hand-painted herself and later gave to me. A wooden desk with a quarter-inch piece of glass covering the top of it, with pictures of past youth retreats and encouragement notes from some of you snuggled between the desk and the glass. And next to my desk, a shelf. On the shelf, gifts given to me by Michael and Larry, Dick and David, when long ago they took a chance on hiring me. And above the bowl and the towel and the water and the salt, cards by the dozens. This shelf is crammed full of cards from my wife. I set them on their ends, standing up as tall as if they're proudly showing off a medal from an award ceremony. Whenever Chelsea discovers a card at Target or Hallmark or wherever, she'll purchase it and save it for just the right moment to give me, and not just birthdays, random Saturdays, tucked within a book that she's purchased for me, placed secretly between the desk and the glass. Lots of them are hilarious, like this one right here, which says, "My heart, my life, and one, maybe two of my French fries." You think that French fry thing is a joke. It is not. Do not get near her when ketchup is present. And she even brings Cora in on the act, teaching a child the way that she goes, I guess. Here's one that she gave me for Father's Day a couple years ago. It says, "The story of Daddy and me. Once upon a time in a city very close to here, a princess and her daddy, the king, set out to have a great adventure. But along the way, they got sidetracked by errands and activities and birthday parties and playing outside and just plain goofing around. And then it hit them. The adventure they sought was right in front of them in the everyday fun they both shared. So they decided to rule the day by going out for ice cream." The end. I love Cora's drawing to me. If you're wondering what that is, I'm pretty sure I'm throwing her in the swimming pool. Right? That's not above concrete or off a roof or something. I love my hat. Chelsea will purchase serious cards as well, and she'll write a letter in it about how thankful she is that we are in us. I love these cards. The funny ones that make me laugh, the serious ones that make me cry, the affectionate ones that remind me that I'm loved. I place them on that shelf, which is layers deep now, because joy. The last two Sundays, we've been going through two of Paul's writings to congregations that he helped start. During Advent, I've called this series Letters Before Christmas. We looked at the faith of the Thessalonians 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at the hope of the Philippians. Next week, Chelsea will preach from Luke chapter 1. Today, however, the last of our Letters Before Christmas series, we come back to the Philippians once more, this time regarding joy. Paul does not hold back. "Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice always. Celebrate. Cheer, delight without end." Paul joins the everlasting song, writing a hymn of joy as his forebears once did, which we communally declared not 20 minutes ago. "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, for the Lord your God is with you. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." There is joy because the Lord is with you. because the Holy One is among you, because the Lord is near. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is something that's pursued, and happiness is often tied up in that pursuit. We pursue lots of things that we think will make us happy and do for a time, but don't for long. Joy is something else altogether. Joy is more and better and much deeper than the pursuit of happiness. Joy is like that song that you sing and the dance that you dance and that poem that you put to paper and that drawing that you pencil, the silence that you sit in, and that hand that holds yours, and that forgiveness that you receive, and that memory that geysers up from within, and that laughter which bellows out, and that painting from a friend which hangs in your office. Joy is what catches you off guard and softens your old heart and tightens your throat at the sight of beauty, your wife, your child. The marvel before the ocean, the pause in this moment, the quiet of night, the end of a life. Joy is an insistence, a call, a longing, a surprise, a freedom, an overflowing of hope. And yet some people might dismiss joy as naive, as fake plastic smiles, as disengaged from the real world, as somehow dishonest with ourselves. Who can be joyful with all this bleak dreariness nowadays? A couple of weeks ago, Chelsea and I were in Hobby Lobby in the Christmas section, and behind us in an aisle sardines with people, we heard two women start raising their voices at each other. Watch where you're going. I have never met anyone so rude as you. How about you just go away? Can you believe that person? That delightful conversation taking place beside the wooden sign that read, "Joy to the World," which can be yours on sale for $25. Paul does not disagree with the world's problems. He names them throughout his letter to the Philippian church. He does disagree on how to view it, however. Into our world of sorrow, Christ has come in person, and Christ has stayed in spirit, and Christ will come again in fullness and with grace. God in Christ has made the promise that all will be redeemed, that all will be reconciled, that all will be recreated, and God will do it. God will not fatigue in this work. God will not slumber. God will not forget you. For us who believe, or who want to believe, or who want to believe, imperishable joy comes from our reliance on this truth: God's redemption, God's reconciliation, God's recreation, even today. Joy now, joy anyway, joy forever. Sometimes we need to be reminded of our joy, which is completely natural. During this time of year, joy is everywhere, at least the word joy is. On shirts and signs and stenciled out in front of yards and Christmas lights, shelves at Hobby Lobby. Here's my bank right here, Chase, just down the street. Joy at Chase also. I'm not exactly sure what Chase means by monogramming joy onto their front door. Whatever they mean, and whenever you see the word joy, if we can burrow past surface levels, it can be a way to ripen our longing for truer joy. Here are some ways that Paul spurs us on in that regard. In your joy, let gentleness be evident to all. Let kindness take control of your calendar, your time. Be gracious to each other because God is near. Not as a Santa Claus making a twice-checked list, but nearness as presence, as spirit among us, as breath in your lungs. And what's more, since you have an implanted joy within you that cannot be taken away, do not be anxious. Don't fret. Don't worry. Which is easier said than done, of course, but try this. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know of your concerns, all those alarm bells going off in your head and your heart. And while you pray, especially make sure your prayers are seasoned with thanks. You may never get tangible answers to your prayers, though before you know it, a trust in God's completeness, a sense of God's wholeness will come and settle you down. That's what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life and replaces it with peace. The peace of God is difficult to define since it surpasses understanding. And maybe the best we can do for now is to say that such a peace does not have its source from within, but in God. God's peace over your heart and your mind keeps guard, which is a military term. The peace of God is like a night guard or a patrolman, watching over you, shielding you, defending you from the enemy. If that image doesn't do it for you, then know that the same word for guard here is the same root word we find in Luke chapter 2, right before the angel choir belts out its joyful anthem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. God's care guards your heart and your mind like a shepherd who keeps watch over a flock of animals for fear of theft or danger. The peace of God surrounds you, protects you, shelters you from passing threats. Which makes me think of Psalm 121, which many of you could recite verbatim without even looking. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Because the day of Christ is near, and because the peace of God stands guard, the church can rejoice. Before I finish up, I want to show you a video. Back in 2012, my sister Kelly married Josh, and they asked me to officiate the wedding, which was, of course, a huge honor to do. My sister is the type of person who has the unique ability to dream up something big and put that dream into motion and see that dream through to the very end. Her dream wedding was no exception. Who would do what and who would stand where, who would play music and when, where the venue, the wedding venue would be and what the decorations would look like. She even told the videographer exactly what she wanted, the camera angles and the song choice, the length, the general feel of it all. And I must say, the video turned out very well, and so I want to show you that video now.
Okay. Jackson.
I love you.
I love you.
You've already been welcomed today from several of the members of my family. Please accept another welcome from me on behalf of the Sergeant and the Burns family. Everybody traveled to get here, and we appreciate the love and support that you show not only Kelly and Josh, although that's probably why you came, but to our families as well, and we appreciate that. I will tell you that about a year ago, Kelly called me on my cell phone, and she says, "Dad, I think I've found the guy I love." We didn't know who he was, what his name was. We just had faith that God would do what we asked him to do.
Josh, from this point forward, you are called to lay down your life for Kelly every single day. And Kelly, from this point forward, you are called to lay down your life for Josh every single day. In this journey together thus far, you've experienced joy and laughter, tears and sorrow. This will continue. Along the way, lay down your lives for each other. What I experience firsthand when I see that video even now is joy. Part of it because it was so much fun. It was such a beautiful day. My sister is beautiful. The service is beautiful. I see two becoming one. I see fireworks, tunnels. I remember those places and the cold weather and walking the dog and saying those words. I hear my dad's open arms greeting to everyone at the reception, and then I watch him out on the dance floor. Who would have thought? My dad. I catch glimpses of my own bride, my then one-year-old daughter pulled in the wagon. And I am filled with joy. But the reason I show this video to you on this day is because of all the preparations taking place before the wedding. The stacking of plates and the setting of silverware. Wrapping lights around wooden beams and arranging flower vases. Moms helping grown children get ready. Keyboard plugged in. Family pictures displayed. Straightening neckties. Tying the bow at the back of the dress. There is joy in the waiting. There is joy in the preparation. There is joy in the anticipation. Advent calls us to remember that God is making all things ready. The wonder placed within young Mary, the miracle that Joseph said, yes, holding back angels with both arms, not yet, God tells them. Your time will come soon, you wise men. Herod, you too. Egypt, Simeon and Anna. The circumstances of foretelling prophets and liberated Israel and captive Israel and the blooming creation has laid groundwork for what's coming. And now there's a rumbling hum of the earth in preparation for the birth of God that will surprise everyone. God making all things ready for the coming one who will live and laugh and work among us. Just wait. Even as we learn the slow art of waiting, we rejoice. Our waiting does not mean that we should suppress sorrow or not care about repentance or conclude that we can be lazy. None of that is healthy. None of it is good. Waiting does mean that we are afforded the opportunity to choose joy today, a profound decision based on faith and hope in the power of God and the love of God and the promise of God. During Advent, we together offer this joint witness that with Christ, joy is born anew. Indeed, God is birthing newness all around. Look around, look around. How lucky we are to be alive right now. Because God in Christ is making all things ready, not just in Mary's expanding womb, but for Christ's return, which is the fullness of joy in every way possible. The steady drum is already beating, the life inside already kicking. God setting up the banquet table, setting plates, folding napkins, a wedding feast cooking, waxing the dance floor for my dad, for all of us. In the meantime, we watch with great joy. For when the back doors will open wide, a bride for her groom. We anticipate with great joy for when tears of a different sort will fall. We wait with great joy for when unrestrained hallelujahs will become our only song. So sisters and brothers, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Rejoice. rejoice, joy to the world, for the Lord has come. Let's stand and worship God together.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy for the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while hills and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins, nor sorrows grow, nor thorns and curse the crown he comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Heralds the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Let's be seated.
Yes, you're good right here. For 10 years, I heard David Pipes give his annual Emmanuel sermonettes during Advent time. And each of those 10 years, I was reminded as David was speaking that it was very much property of Kay's as it was David's. I heard Kay's voice all through it. I can't go an Advent or Christmas season without hearing the Emmanuel words. They've had such an impact on my life. As most of you know, David passed away just about a year ago. And I am so thankful that Kay is here to continue that tradition on for us with great joy. So let's open our hearts and receive these words once again.
David had about 23 versions of this, and he changed it every year. And this is actually as it was written originally, I think. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Not far away, right here with us, beside us. We sometimes think of God as far away, remote, up there. Not so. In Jesus, God came very near. The Word became flesh and lived for a while with us. God's Son walked with us, fished with us, ate with us, celebrated with us, mourned with us, and taught us how to live abundantly. God's Spirit lives in us, whispers to us, intercedes for us. Emmanuel, God with us, not against us, on our side. We sometimes think of God as looking to find ways to find us in the wrong, to judge us, to condemn us. Not so. God is the Father who waits on the porch for us to come home. God is the shepherd who searches in the dark for us. What then shall we say if God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died and was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Emmanuel, God with us. It's the gospel in a word. Jesus knew we'd forget this, and so he left us some reminders. And perhaps this is promised to be always with us, where two or three are gathered in his name. Many more than two or three are gathered in his name this morning, as we do every week around this table, to remember the flesh and blood of Jesus, who was God with us.
Will you pray with me, please? Holy Father, thank you so much for being with us, for sending your Son to be with us, for all that he gave us, for all that he and you both continue to give us. Please bless us as we take this in remembrance of Christ. Amen.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing.
Almighty God, we're ever mindful that you are the creator of heaven and earth. Through it all, you chose to create us a little lower than the angels, and to send your Son to live with us, be among us, and show us the way that we could live with you forever. We thank you for that gift. We thank you for your Son. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And men at war with men hear not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling. And the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
At the beginning of the service, there was a little description of some cards. Now will be the time for you to place the cards in the collection and for our members to put your contribution in. Will you pray with me, please? Father, it is with joy that we come and say thank you for letting us participate in your work, participate in the world. Bless us with joy and love, and bless our contribution that it works in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.